Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this Palm Sunday is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew from chapter 21, verses 15 and 16. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, to whom we also cry out, "Hosanna, save us, fellow redeemed in his precious blood." I once asked a student in one of my classes, "Who's buried in Grant's tomb?" Only to be asked in return, "Jesus?" That's right. Sometimes kids say the funniest things, and sometimes they speak without even thinking about what they're saying. That's why we don't always accept and believe the things that our children say to us, and for good reason. We may dismiss some of the things that they say simply because they are not yet equipped with the knowledge and understanding to know what they're talking about. Yes, more simply put, they don't always know or understand what they're talking about. But perhaps more frequently, we ignore what our children say simply because we are preoccupied with something else. We adults can become so self-absorbed in what we're doing that we simply don't pay attention to our children. It wasn't uncommon for children to be in the temple of the Lord, and it wasn't uncommon for them to stand and sing praise right alongside their parents. But when the children began praising Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, the religious leaders of the day finally noticed them and were not happy. You see, they dismissed the content of their praises as false, and they called upon Jesus to silence the little children. They made a mistake. And we would be making a mistake, too, if we were to dismiss their words as little more than the foolish talk of ignorant children. Those children had something incredible to say, and it was true. We should listen to those children, and not just listen to them. We should join them to praise Christ as our one Savior. This isn't kid stuff. It's important. So may God the Holy Spirit guide and bless us as we meditate upon these words. Amen. Now, we've surely all heard the expression, "seeing is believing." I think the pastors mentioned it in the last three sermons in a row. Usually when people use the expression, they mean to say, if I can see and touch and examine something, then I'll believe it. In a way, they're basically saying what Thomas once did. "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." As you all know, by the grace of God, Thomas did see Jesus alive. And by the grace of God, he believed. And he didn't believe merely because of what he saw with his eyes, but because of what he had heard from Jesus over 3 years of following him. Moreover, Jesus went on to say that those who do not subscribe to the "seeing is believing" creed with regard to him are blessed more than those who insist on seeing. In fact, Jesus chided Thomas for his skepticism when he said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I can say absolutely without exception that your faith in Jesus Christ is not based upon what you have seen, but upon what you've heard from the Scriptures. For those who trust in Jesus Christ do so because of the work of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. And for most of you, that all began when you were baptized. In the sacrament of baptism, the Spirit of God used the Word of God in connection with simple water to wash away your sin and guilt. God also gave spiritual life to your spiritually dead hearts. And God the Holy Spirit has since then continued to build on that faith through word and sacrament over the years, using different men to accomplish his purpose. Still, when we look around us today, it seems that for every Thomas, there are 1,000 others like the chief priests and the scribes. The chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were indignant. Understand that these men were blessed to have seen with their own eyes the marvelous, remarkable, wonderful miracles that Jesus worked. They witnessed him heal the blind and the lame. They interviewed people whom he had healed or had demons cast out of them. They were well aware of the fact that Jesus had less than a week earlier raised up Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, a little city not 3 miles from Jerusalem. Seeing is believing, right? They did not. Absolutely did not. They would not accept the things that he did as based on what they saw or as having been done by God. They did not worship him. In fact, they persecuted those who followed Jesus as ignorant. For in their own hearts and minds, they'd made up their minds about Jesus. He was, in their minds, casting out demons and healing people by the power of the devil. They refused to acknowledge his miracles and instead made plans to have Jesus and Lazarus killed. They wanted to erase any and everything that might lead someone to listen to Jesus. Now we look at this and we say, how could they not believe? Are they blind? Were they just like some people today who are always contrary, who insist they're right even when they're obviously wrong? I'm sure that pride, we know that envy, had something to do with it. But in reality, they came to the only conclusion that human beings can without the intervention of God the Holy Spirit. They rejected Jesus. After all, faith in Christ is not an act of the human will, but a blessing, a miracle indeed, of God. And so it happened when they heard the children praising Jesus the day after Palm Sunday, they were offended, they were angry. Funny, they didn't even notice the noise and the chaos and the disorder of those who bought and sold in the temple. They didn't notice the smell of the cattle and the bawling of the sheep, the haggling and the dickering of salesmen. That was all acceptable to them. But as soon as the children began praising Jesus, that was too much for their pious ears. It wasn't that the children sang off tune. Wasn't that they were interrupting the rest of those trying to pray. It was that they were praising Jesus as the Messiah. And so they self-righteously demanded that Jesus shut them up. How could Jesus stand there and let this go on? How could he accept their praise? How could he allow these children to be misled into believing he was the Messiah? And it wasn't the first time they objected. They objected the day before on Palm Sunday. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, a great multitude cried out, saying the same thing, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And on that day, they had said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." You know, shut them up. And here they were asking the same thing the next day. They were indignant when they asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these are saying? Hosanna means save us, we pray. They were calling upon Jesus to save them. And we do nearly the same thing, well, we do the same thing on nearly every communion Sunday. We address the Lord of hosts or the Lord God of Sabaoth when we sing, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. On that day after Palm Sunday, the children called Jesus the Son of David. In so doing, they recognized him as the promised Savior. After all, God had promised that that Savior would come from the family of David. Now, in days gone by, our children have also stood up here before you to sing praise to Jesus. Today, they stand next to you. On Christmas Eve, they traditionally help to bring the Word of God to you. So let me ask, do we hear them when they speak God's Word? Do we listen to them? Or do we only marvel and beam with pride that they look so grown up, so cute, so nice? When they speak the words of life to us, do we receive those words into our hearts and treasure them and honor them? Or do the words themselves simply go in one ear and out the other? Listen. Listen to the beautiful sound of children praising their Savior. Listen and rejoice, because it is an act of faith to do so. Rejoice not only because they are your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren speaking the words, but because by faith they belong to Jesus. Moreover, be like your children when you bring your praises. Sing because you love him and treasure him, not to be heard, not to be recognized. Jesus would have us all be like children in this respect. He would have us gladly hear, receive, and store his word in our hearts and minds. And he doesn't want that word to become some dusty artifact on a shelf in our heart, but something that we take out and show and share. When we have opportunity to listen to Jesus and his word, we should set everything else aside. Set it aside and listen. Whether that message is coming from our children, in sacred music, in a devotion, or from the pulpit. And we should trust him that his word and what it relates to us is always reliable. So did Jesus hear what they were saying? Oh, yes, he did. And he received their praise, and he had a question for those who suggested the children didn't know what they were saying. He directed them, in fact, back to Scripture. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Here the chief priests and the scribes assumed that the children spoke empty words because of their ignorance. Jesus accepted their praise because they were not empty words. They were not just mimicking the praises of those who cried out the previous day. Their praises were prompted by God himself, who blesses children with faith and a desire to worship and sing his praise. And so Jesus directed them to the words of Psalm 8. And in that psalm, God directed David to declare that he himself prepares and prompts his own praise, even out of the mouth of infants and young children. Far from examples of ignorance, they were examples of praise flowing from hearts of faith, accepted by God. So the next time that you sing the Sanctus in the communion liturgy, remember the one to whom the children sang. Let your singing be an act of faith, asking that the Lord Jesus come and save you. And know that he hears your praise, your prayer. May the same God grant that when we pray these words from the heart in faith, we also at the same time know that God has saved us by sending his Son. And the same Jesus who received their praise will receive yours. And he will also energize our faith in him when he assures us that by his body and blood, he has in fact saved us. And then our faith, having been built up again through sacrament, will be moved again to joyfully offer up our praises to glorify his holy name. Listen to the children. Join them in their praise of Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.